Today's sermon's entitled The True Religion. And we'll be in Hebrews 3, and we'll look at Hebrews 3, verses 1 and 2 in a moment. But before we read the Word, let's bow our heads and ask God to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, great God, Almighty Lord, as we come before You, we praise You, we honor You, Father God, that You're so good to us, that You're such an awesome God. Father God, we ask You, Lord, to humble us. We ask You, Father God, to cleanse us. We ask You, Lord God, to fill us with Thy Spirit. Father, we ask You, Lord, to anoint our hearts, our minds, our tongues. May we speak Thy Word, Father God. May we just be a mouthpiece for You, Father. God, I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit will attend the message, Father God, that You will touch the hearts of Thy people today, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, the title is The True Religion, and we're in Hebrews 3, verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to Him that appointed Him, as also Moses was faithful in all of his house." Now, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Right there, we just read that Jesus Christ is the apostle of our profession or our religion. He is the originator of the true religion, amen. When we compare our religions, amen, to anything, we need to compare it to Jesus Christ and nothing else. Because He is the originator. He's the author of this true way of salvation, amen. I want us today to look at the religion that Jesus Christ had, amen. I want to know the foundation of it. I want to know the substance of it. And that way, when we look at ourselves, we can compare ourselves not with one another, but with the man, amen, with Jesus Christ Himself. Now, what was the religion of Jesus Christ? The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ was a worshiper and a servant of the one true God, which is His Father. Not only was He such, but He worshiped and served God perfectly. There wasn't a flaw in His religious life anywhere. And His example of religion is the mark. It is the goal that we must strive to duplicate. Amen. The Bible says and teaches, as Jesus Christ is, so are we to be in this world. Now, how was Jesus Christ? What did His worship and service to God consist of? Do you think it's like the Christian religion you see today? Do you think that Jesus Christ's religion is like the TBN that you see today? Do you think that Jesus Christ's worship of the one true God consisted of Him maybe attending the synagogue once or twice a week? Do you think that's all it consisted of? Do you think that Jesus only served the one true God when it was convenient to Him? Do you think that Jesus' religious experience was just a song and a dance and maybe a shout once in a while? Do you think that Jesus' service to the one true God caused Him to prosper in finances or in health? Let's look at Hebrews 5, 7 and see what it says about this Jesus Christ and His religion. Hebrews 5, 7 says, "Who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save him from death, and was hurt in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." I want you to notice some of the things that's mentioned with this religion of Jesus Christ. He talked about prayers there, didn't he? Supplications. Strong crying. Tears. Obedience. Fear. Suffering. And death. Those things are the things that made up Jesus Christ's religion while on earth. Does that sound like a fun religion? That sound like the religion that they're preaching on television nowadays? Does that sound like your religion or my religion? Jesus Christ had a religion of self-denial. It was a religion of prayer and supplication and intercession. When Jesus Christ prayed, He didn't just, "Oh, I'm getting sleepy, it's almost bedtime, I'm going to have to hit my knees and say a few tired words to God, and then I'm going to get in my comfortable bed and go to sleep." Amen. The Bible teaches us that He prayed without ceasing. He would pray sometimes all night long to His God. What was He praying about? Well, I don't know everything, but I know one thing. He was praying for His disciples. Not only those that was there with Him then, but those that would believe their word, that includes me and that includes you, amen. He was praying and seeking the face of His Father for those that He loved, amen. He would sacrifice the sleep that His body thought it needed just to seek the face of God for somebody else. Christ's religion was filled with tears and strong crying, the Bible teaches us. Now listen, He wasn't crying because He failed God. You know, a lot of us, we cry because we come so short of the glory of God. But Jesus wasn't crying because of that, because He lived perfectly. He would cry and weep and sob over lost people, amen. He stood up on that hill and He looked down at this Jerusalem that hated Him, that rejected Him, and He began to weep and sob over it because they would be destroyed, amen. He wept at people's lack of faith. Jesus wasn't a jesting man. He wasn't a foolish man. He wasn't like they portray Him on these old shows now. He was a man of grief, a man of sorrows. All the time I read about Him smiling and rejoicing is when souls repent and when somebody gets a little bit closer to God. Amen. He didn't rejoice over the things of the world. Christ's religion was one of suffering. Oh, don't preach that, brother. We don't preach that nowadays. We say Christianity is a religion of prosperity. Jesus slept on the ground. No place to lay His head. He went without food and water. He suffered, amen. When His loved ones rejected Him, He suffered. When His disciples forsook Him and went away, He suffered. When His apostle denied Him three times, He suffered, amen. When His Father forsook Him, He suffered. When they tore the beard from His face, He suffered. When they put a crown of thorns on His head, He suffered. When He gave His face to the spiders, He suffered. When His back was struck by the whip, He suffered, amen. When His hands was nailed to the cross, He suffered. It was a religion of suffering, amen, He had. For us, for others. Christ's religion was one of obedience. He says, "I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me." He says, "I have kept my Father's commandments." And that night in the garden, when He was facing death, the separation from His Father because of our sin, He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Amen. Christ's religion is a religion of self-denial. Jesus Christ denied self. He didn't believe that a full life consisted of the abundance of things. He didn't spend His time laboring for things that perished, but He labored for souls. He didn't fulfill the lust of this flesh, but He obeyed the unctions and teachings of the Spirit of God. He didn't come to do His own will, but the will of the One who sent Him, amen. And He surrendered Himself fully to the will of God, even to the point of dying a death for someone else. Now that is the religion of Jesus Christ. And that is the only true religion that is upon the face of this earth, amen. The question is, do we have His religion? Look at Matthew 7:21. Matthew 7:21. He says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Who shall be in the kingdom of God? Not those that do their own will, but those that do the will of the Father in heaven. It's the same religion, amen. Who is truly a child of the living God? Christ said, my brothers and my sisters are made up of those who do the will of my Father in heaven. If a man has a religion that does not cause him to obey the will of Almighty God, then he has a false religion. Look at John 14:21. John 14:21. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. What is true religion? Religion is obedience to God. It's you submitting your soul to the will of this one true God. And this obedience to God comes from a heart that's overflowing with love for its Maker, amen. Because it loves God, it is willing to obey God, amen. It's willing to let God rule over their lives in all things. All things. Some people think they have true religion because they have good desires. True religion isn't made up simply of good desires. Evil men have desires to do good, but they do it not. Amen. That is the faith of devils. The Apostle Paul, when he was a Pharisee, was in false religion. He said, I desired to do good, but did it not. It is false religion, amen. True religion is doing the will of God. Imagine a man standing here today, and he says, you know, I have a desire to stop committing adultery, but I just can't do it, amen. His desire does not justify him, because it's clear that he has more of a desire to sin against God than he has to stop sinning, amen. He has not made up his mind. He has not chosen to have God as Almighty Maker over his life, and therefore he refuses to obey God. Desires will not save you, amen. The Bible teaches that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent taketh by force, amen. You do as God says. Faith without works is dead. Faith of devils. And notice what Jesus taught. If you love me, you obey me. If you love me, you'll keep my word, my commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous, amen. If we love God, we will obey Him. And any action we have in religious life, in our religious life, must stem from our heart. Oh, I'm doing this so the preacher won't get mad at me. That's false religion. I'm doing this to please so-and-so. That is false religion. True religion obeys God because they love and respect God as God, as Almighty God. If your actions of religion does not stem from a heart that loves God, then God does not accept it. You must love and obey Him. Look at Matthew 16:24. Matthew 16:24. Then said Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall man give in exchange for his soul? Today, people are looking for a comfortable religion. They want a religion with very few requirements. They want a religion that does not interfere with their love for the world and their sin. They would rather spend 6 days a week doing their own thing than go to church one day a week and spend a few hours singing happy songs and hymns. But this is not the example of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He spent much time agonizing in prayer for sinners. He spent time trying to pull dying men out of the fires of hell. Christians today think that they've been born just to enjoy themselves. But that's not what the apostles went through, is it? The apostles didn't think, well, I'm just a Christian to enjoy myself. They traveled. They were agonizing for souls. They labored for souls in weariness, in distress, in death, often, all just to save sinners. Are we willing to suffer for Jesus Christ? If we're not willing, amen, to crucify this flesh today, tomorrow we will not be willing to die for Jesus Christ, and we may be required to. Look at Luke 14:25 now. Luke 14:25 says, And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, This is the one of the few times you see a great multitude trying to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And he said in chapter 9, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Amen. It's your duty to deny self. If we're not willing to take up our cross and to deny self, then we simply are not the disciples of Jesus Christ. Simple. If you're not willing to do what He said, you are not His disciple. How often is self-denial preached in Christianity today? How many churches is preaching self-denial? Oh, it's not that way. Oh, give tithes and you'll be blessed tenfold if you do, if you send it into our ministries. It's not self-denial. What are Christians willing to give up today for the Lord and Savior? Lord, I'll spend time with you when I get done with my work, when I get done taking care of my house, when I get done with my children, with my husband, with my wife, with my family, with my friends, after I watch my television show, I'm going to spend some time with you. Let's see, God, I can spare 8 hours this week to spend with you. That's how much I can spare. How about our income? Money? I pay my tithes. You're not giving nothing to the Lord when you pay tithes. That is God's money. You're not making a sacrifice when you pay tithes. If you hold on to it, you rob God. Oh, I give a few extra dollars a month when I can spare it. I give when you spare it. When I can spare the time, when I can spare the money. That's not self-denial. That's giving God something you're not even worried about. That is not a sacrifice at all, and God doesn't recognize that as self-denial. Jesus exercised self-denial. He denied himself. He was way up here as the Son of the living God, and he became one of us and died. He denied himself. The Father, he had his precious Son in his possession, and he gave his Son to die for us. That's self-denial. The apostles, they went to and fro, denying self, leaving houses and homes to plant churches, amen. That was self-denial. And can we be followers of Christ? Can we be temples of the Holy Ghost if we're not denying self? If we're not denying self, we don't have true religion. How about fasting and praying? You know, prayerlessness is sin. If you don't pray as you should, you sin. The Bible teaches us that we are to humble ourselves and to pray. And yet to humble our flesh, we must fast and pray. Fasting. Gluttony is a sin that is rampant in the church today. Now you know, brother, it's a sin that's visible in a big way. Right? Gluttony shows plainly that men do not practice the religion of self-denial. Men cannot come to church nowadays for 2.5 hours except they bring a snack with them. If they would, they'd turn the church house into a diner. Satan is using food in a mighty way. He addicts you to it, makes you glutton, which is sin, and then he kills you by your spoon. True? If they would realize, if we would realize, is when this old stomach growls that that's just another God saying, come and serve me, amen, maybe we would stop. Unless we are willing to lay ourselves completely out for God and deny self and pick up the cross and sacrifice our lives for Jesus Christ, we cannot be His disciples. Amen? Amen. Look at John 5:14. John 5:14. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Flip over to John 8:11. She said, no man, Lord. He says, where's your accusers? Who's condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. One was healed. One was forgiven. What was the same words he spoke to him? Go and sin no more. Paul said, awake to righteousness and sin not. John said, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. If it's not your purpose to live without sin, then you do not have true religion. True religion is a supreme love to God. And you have to propose in your heart to obey God. If you've not done this, then it's not religion at all. It's the duty of every man, woman, child that claims to be a Christian to propose that my entire life, my whole being, I'm going to surrender to God and I'm not going to disobey Him. It should be our constant purpose in this life not to sin against God. We should live in such a way so sin is so contrary to us that if for some reason we fail and we sin, it should be the exception and not the rule. And it should smite us so hard in our heart that we'd have to run and flee to Jesus Christ and go and beg Him for forgiveness and cleansing, amen, by the blood of the Lamb. But nowadays people sin and they sin and they sin some more and they don't care about it, amen. Because the churches is told them it's all right. You can hold on to that abomination. You can hold on to that sin and it's going to be all right. But it is a lie, man. If you've not made up your mind that you're going to stop sinning, you ain't proposed in your heart that you're going to stop, then you have false religion. We are to strive for perfection. We are to strive for the mark and the high calling of Jesus Christ. We are to follow in His steps. We are to be as He was, amen, as He is. If our religion is not matching the religion of Jesus Christ today, then we have the wrong religion. Now that's just a short glimpse, a short sermon, amen. But it's enough for us to see if we have that religion or not. Do we have the religion of Jesus Christ, the one that leads to eternal life, or have we made up our own religion that's going to damn us? What should we do? You come, you pray, you repent, and then guess what? You take up your cross. You deny yourself, and you follow Jesus Christ. Amen. You follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to close the sermon. If you don't have that true religion, where you've made up your mind that you're going to obey God in everything He says, everything, then pray and repent and receive the true religion. Altar's open.